Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of Arizona Sports. That's right. It is a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got a whole lot to do today. Moist Mike is to my left. I got Stuart Kovacs back in our New York City headquarters. Pete McCarthy on the updates as we are here for the next 3 days in Phoenix, Arizona, the site of the men's Final Four. We are today at our friend's studio at Arizona Sports. Tomorrow and Friday will be on Westwood One's Radio Row. We'll have a ton of guests for you live in person. But today, Drew Joyce, the new head basketball coach at Duquesne, he was LeBron James's teammate in high school. He's going to stop by. So we'll talk with him in about 20 minutes as he's now the new head coach of Duquesne for the basketball program. Austin Eckler, who goes from the Chargers to the Commanders, he'll stop by at 4:20 p.m. Eastern, 1:20 p.m. Pacific today. And we will bump Winkler Wednesdays from his normal time slot to 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific today. Bart Winkler, of course, the host of the Bart Winkler Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. So let me start off with our journey today to Phoenix, Arizona. There is no doubt about it. There was some bad weather in New York today. Samter was sitting in front of me. I thought for a moment I was going to projectile vomit all over Samter because the turbulence was just god-awful on this flight for the first hour. As the plane was bumping, it was going nuts, it was going crazy, and I get a little motion sick. So when the plane was going nuts, I thought I was going to have to use the little baggie for a while. And I'm sitting there on the plane, and eventually we find smooth flying, and I'm watching First Take. And they're doing a segment, and it has to do with Stephon Diggs. And this is before the Stephon Diggs trade did go down. And pretty much the segment was over a tweet that Stephon Diggs did send last night, where it goes back to 2-3 days ago, RG3, Robert Griffin III, was doing a segment on his podcast, and basically he was just asking, can Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen still coexist, and are they needed together to continue to excel and have Josh Allen continue to excel with the Buffalo Bills? So they're doing that segment, and Stephon Diggs responded to the tweet of a fan, actually, that was basically like, Josh doesn't need Stephon Diggs anymore, and all Stephon Diggs did in the last 24 hours was respond saying, you sure about that? So when I saw that tweet, I kind of rolled my eyes, and I was a little bit annoyed about it because I'm like, here we go again, just with the jackassery and the petulant behavior that's been going down between Stephon Diggs, the Buffalo Bills. I guess you could include Josh Allen in there, where everyone's telling you every little thing is going to be all right, but then the actions keep on showing you that there's something that we're not in the know about, and there's clearly some issue. And when someone tells you there is no issue and there keeps on being smoke and you keep on seeing smoke, well, guess what? Where there's smoke, there's a fire. And you see that tweet, and I basically just said, uh-oh, here we go again. It's the never-ending cycle of Stephon Diggs appearing not to be happy in Buffalo. We know that he wasn't happy in Minnesota, and that's what led to the trade of him going to the Buffalo Bills. But then it was so funny because I see this segment on First Take. They go to commercial break. They come back, and it's we have breaking news. Now, I'm on the plane. I just bought Wi-Fi, and I'm waiting for the breaking news, and I could not believe the breaking news, even though the breaking news wasn't something that was so unexpected where it's like, oh my goodness gracious, because of what I just said, there's been issues in Buffalo the last 2 years with Stephon Diggs. And the breaking news, as everyone knows by now, is that Stephon Diggs is getting traded to the Houston Texans along with a sixth-round pick in 2024 and a fifth-round pick in 2025. And the Buffalo Bills get back a 2025 second-round pick, ironically enough, via the Minnesota Vikings. So I think there's two reactions to this. There's the Bills side of this, and then there's the Texans side of it. Let's start off with the Bills side of it. I am relieved today. I am actually happy that this nonsense is now over, because you knew a divorce was inevitable with Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and the Buffalo Bills. And you knew Josh Allen, obviously, because he's the franchise quarterback, as should he was going to win out in whatever this kerfuffle was about, where they keep on telling you it wasn't an issue, and clearly it was an issue. But I know a lot of people today are going to slam the Bills. They're going to say the Bills window is closed and the Buffalo Bills will never get it done with Josh Allen. I vehemently disagree with that. Josh Allen, let's remind everybody, even without Stephon Diggs, he still goes into next season as a top three quarterback in the sport. Mahomes is one, Joe Burrow is two, and then Josh Allen is in at number three. What is happening in Buffalo right now, because of the salary cap situation they were in, is they need a retool season where Josh Allen could still lead this team to the playoffs. They are not a lock like they've been the last few years to win the division, but they could still win this division, and the Buffalo Bills could still be a playoff team next year. You're not, though, going to see the Bills be a Super Bowl team this year unless Josh Allen really just goes all franchise quarterback mode and he puts on the Superman cape and he carries this team to an AFC championship game and they're able to propel themselves into a Super Bowl. Now, they do have some youngsters on this team, and you saw James Cook come on towards the end of the season. He had a very good year. Dalton Kincaid came on at the end of the season as well. And those are two nice young building block pieces for the future. But the Buffalo Bills roster as it's constructed today isn't going to be the Buffalo Bills roster that takes the field in September. And this was even before we knew Stephon Diggs was going to be traded. I did a segment on this show 3-4 weeks ago where I said the Bills are going to be aggressive in the draft. We know Brandon Bean is an aggressive general manager. He was aggressive trading up to go get Josh Allen and moving up from way back in the draft when they were a playoff team into the top 10 to secure the services of Josh Allen. I think he's going to say bleep it once again. And I think he's going to pull Les Snead and say bleep those draft picks once again. And he will trade and he will mortgage future draft capital to go move up from the Bills sitting at the 28th pick right now to get into the top 15, maybe get into the top 10, and secure a wide receiver in a deep wide receiving draft class and find a way to go get one of these highly coveted wide receivers. I don't think he's going to be able to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Can you get a Roma Dunze? Can you find a way to get a Malik Nabers? Potentially. But I believe Brandon Bean is going to try his hardest, and I believe he's going to be aggressive to move up the draft board to go get Josh Allen, a bona fide number one, new number one wide receiver. But the Buffalo Bills situation with Stephon Diggs, and just getting back to that for a second, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze anymore. And he was a headache. He was a pain in the ass. I know there's probably two sides to every story, but this was something that was just lingering and lingering and lingering. And you knew one day Stephon Diggs was going to be released or he was going to be traded by the Buffalo Bills. I thought that this relationship would last one more year because of the cap hit of it being $30 million for him not to be on the roster this year. However, when Buffalo's kind of in this retool mode where they're trying to reshape their roster quickly to reignite that championship window because you still have a top three quarterback in the sport, it does kind of make sense that you cut ties now. Because I believe Stephon Diggs is in the start of his decline as an NFL player and as a number one wide receiver. And you saw it last year. The proof was in the stats. And I know sometimes I'll say stats are for losers, but the facts are with Stephon Diggs, for a guy that is paid the money he is, you can't have your last 100-yard game of the season back on October 15th. You can't have your last touchdown on the season back on November 26th. And those were the facts this year with Stephon Diggs. So it's one thing to be a pain in the ass. It's one thing to be unhappy and cause problems in the locker room when the team basically held your hand and defended you the entire way, but then you weren't producing. And you go back to that game in Buffalo, and it was the playoff game in Cincinnati up against the Bengals 2 years ago. That was basically the demise of this Bills group as we did know it. Because Stephon Diggs freaked out after that game, and then it was the offseason of Stephon Diggs and why Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen don't get along. And I don't know what the truth is of that situation. But regardless of what the facts are, it was not handled the right way. Stephon Diggs really didn't do anything to put out the flames of the fire. And he kept on having vague references and ambiguous tweets and ambiguous press conferences that did pop up when everyone was basically kissing his behind. So you're at a point where when you're not producing on the field, it is tough to get rid of someone who's meant so much to that organization, but you got to hold up your end of the bargain. And down the stretch, Stephon Diggs wasn't holding up his end of the bargain. And I know that it's a 2025 second-round pick, but if Diggs wasn't happy, and if Diggs, you know, kind of looked like the receiver he was at the second half of last season, you would not have got in this offseason, next offseason, let's say if you traded him a year from now, anywhere close to a second-round pick and a future second-round pick. And he would have been a year older. So the timing, even though most of us expected Stephon Diggs to be back for one more last hurrah with the Buffalo Bills, it actually does make sense that they pulled the trigger now. But, like, could we just put an end now, and this just shows it, whenever there is a pending issue and players say, oh, the media is making it more of a deal, sometimes the media does make things a bigger deal than what it needs to be, but when there was just countless and countless and countless of stories here, I don't think it was, oh, there was nothing really to see here. And that's what the Bills, to try to rectify this relationship or to try to elongate this relationship, that's what they did the last year and a half. They tried to tell you there wasn't a problem, but you knew inevitably that there was going to be a split. So Buffalo is now in this retooling mode where, because of their quarterback and who he is, they could still contend for a division championship. They could still make the playoffs. But I'm not going to look at the Bills this year as a team that I expect to go to a Super Bowl with all these changes. And I don't think they are a top three or even a top four AFC title contender this year. Now let's get to the other side. Even with everything I just said about Stephon Diggs, this is his last chance. Because in Minnesota, he was good, but he was a problem. In Buffalo, he was good for the most part, but he was a problem. Now you go to the Texans. And let me just start off by saying this. I believe the Texans made a low-risk, high-reward move today. And I like this move that the Houston Texans did make. You already had a good young wide receiving core. Tank Dell coming off the injury. Nico Collins had a breakout season a year ago. And now you add in Stephon Diggs and you put more around your young quarterback who is on a rookie contract and doesn't have the mega salary yet. And you were able to get Joe Mixon this offseason. You were able to improve the defense as well by getting Danielle Hunter. I love what the Texans have done this offseason. The Texans realize they have a window to go win a Super Bowl. Like, they were way ahead of the process a year ago. They won the division. No one in their right mind picked the Texans to win the division before the season did commence. And not only that, they won a playoff game. And you have a top five quarterback already in the sport. I've said this before. The top five quarterbacks in the sport are Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and then it's CJ Stroud. So they are putting that young quarterback in a position to not only succeed, but exceed what he did a year ago. And things could change very quickly in the NFL. And it wasn't that long ago where we all looked at the Texans as a joke and as a laughingstock of the league. And now they're a team that has a window for the foreseeable future. So, yes, you have to be a little weary. Yes, you have to be a little skeptical of the mercurial attitude of Stephon Diggs. But this was a move that it's worth the gamble for the Texans to take. Because the Texans can win without Stephon Diggs. So if he becomes a malcontent in that locker room, which he shouldn't be, but you never know, then you just cut him and you get rid of him. But now you put a new quarterback with Stephon Diggs and you just enhance this offense. I like the move by the Texans. So it's weird to say that it's a win-win because for Buffalo, you have to eat the money. You only get a second-round pick. But this divorce was just getting pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. And if you're in a retooling year, it's better to get out now than a year later where it may have been too late and you really wouldn't have got anything that was rich in return. And for the Texans, it just further improves this roster. It further improves this team. And the Texans in a year have gone from the outhouse to the penthouse. And they are one of the better teams in the AFC. Like right now, and we'll do this later on in the show, when I look at Super Bowl contenders in the AFC, number one, Kansas City. Number two, Cincinnati. And then it's the Houston Texans in at number three. So that's the reaction today as we've seen the Buffalo Bills say goodbye to Stephon Diggs. And now he's going to have a new home with C.J. Stroud as his new quarterback. And we start to wonder how quickly can Brandon Bean rebuild this thing in Buffalo, retool this thing in Buffalo to get them back looking like a championship contender. We'll take a timeout on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're broadcasting to you live today in Phoenix, Arizona, at the fine studios of Arizona Sports. Tomorrow we'll be on Radio Row from the Phoenix Convention Center as we get you set for the men's Final Four. We'll do a little basketball talk on the, when we come back from the break. Keith Dambrot was the longtime coach at Duquesne. He's now retired. And his assistant, Drew Joyce, who was once a player for Keith Dambrot and also teammates of LeBron James back in high school, he's going to join us when we return. And we'll talk about maybe the future of Bronny James. We'll get into the future of the Duquesne program and so much more with Drew Joyce III, who will join us on the Zach Gelb Show when we return in 5 minutes. All righty, rocking and rolling from the site of the Final Four, Phoenix, Arizona. You look back at the Duquesne basketball season, we all remember their great first-round victory up against BYU. Their new head basketball coach is Drew Joyce III. He's no stranger to the program. He's been on the staff, and now he's the head honcho of Duquesne, and Coach is kind enough to join us right now. Coach, first and foremost, congratulations. Thanks so much for jumping on board with us, and how you been?
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity to speak with you today. I look forward to it. I've been great. The last couple of days have been very, very busy. But it's I just know that I'm blessed and fortunate to be in this position, and I've been at it already. I'm already working. I'm already rolling. So I'm just excited for what's to come.
Well, we'd love to hear that. We'll talk about the future of your program in just a bit. But how do you kind of look back at this season first with what you guys were able to accomplish, get it into the tourney, winning a tournament game in Coach Dambrot's final season? How do you kind of recap the season from a year ago?
We made history. We made history, and it was a lot of fun. I think sometimes as coaches, you forget to enjoy it and have fun. You try to remind your players of that all the time. But as coaches, you need to do it too. And I remember me and Coach Dambrot just discussing it. And, we would just say to each other, even before the games, let's have some fun today. The element of that run that we had, where our mindset was, where our poise was unbelievable as a staff. And it was fun to be a part of. And what our guys accomplished was huge. When you get to the later stages of the season, I think what starts to come about in a team is the connection, not only just fighting when you're on the court, but making sure you're fighting for the next man next to you. And our guys really embodied that. Their connection was strong. They were playing their best basketball, and they just played confident. They enjoyed the moment. And they just hunted every possession, every game. That was their mindset. That was their attitude. And, you know, it's a blessing to be able to hold that trophy at the end of that A-10 tournament. And then it was awesome to get Coach Dambrot his first win in March Madness to cap off his wonderful career.
And that's a career that obviously you played a big part of going back many years ago as Drew Joyce III, the new head basketball coach at Duquesne, joins us. I know you could probably spend a lot of time talking about Coach Dambrot and what he's meant to your life, but to kind of know that you guys were able to send him out that way, and now you get to take over a program that he was the head coach of, just personally, to have that continuity and to continue to have this relationship and be side by side with him, how do you kind of reflect on that experience and what it's meant to you with how many years that relationship has spanned over?
Yeah, like you said, I've known Coach Dambrot since the age of 12. And that's how far we go back. Our relationship started when he didn't even have a head coaching position. He was just giving his time to the youth and having basketball clinics and basketball camps. And I got to see the passion that he had early on in those early stages of how he felt about basketball, his energy that he wanted to pour in as far as teaching the game. And years later, being on the sidelines with him, as I want to get his age correct, 65. but he embodied those same values and principles that I seen when I was 12 years old. It was like, man, this is amazing. This guy hasn't missed a beat. His attention to detail was just like it was when I played for him in high school. His energy, his intensity, because everyone knows Coach Dambrot, he's intense in practice and on the sidelines. But it's all with an intent and purpose. And that never changed. That never wavered. And to believe that guy had been doing it for 40 years, to bring that that work ethic, it was unbelievable to be a part of and see. And it taught me a whole lot about how you got to approach each and every day with the mindset of that you're working towards being the best version of yourself, and don't take any moment for granted.
You are a disciple of his, so there's going to be a lot of similarities, but how do you kind of put your own creative spin on the program now as we kind of enter a new era of Duquesne basketball?
You know, after talking with him throughout the, you know, the season and even before, you know, he's done a terrific job of giving me an opportunity to really learn this role from an assistant coaching standpoint, with giving me different experiences and opportunities, as well as my first head coach, Dennis Gates. It was a blessing to work for both of those guys, because they never stunted my growth. They allowed me to keep growing and giving me different obstacles and challenges to take on. And what I take from him is, like I said, there'll be some similarities, but in our approach, because he did things the right way. But I'm also encouraged by him saying that I have to be Drew. I have to be who I am, and I have to do it my way. I can't be anyone else. So I'm going to be successful at being the best person that I can be, and what I believe in for not only our staff and our players, but our entire program.
Coach Drew Joyce III here with us, new head basketball coach at Duquesne. People that are familiar with your story know that you played high school basketball with LeBron James. That was a pretty good savvy move by you to get LeBron to break that story that you were going to be the new head honcho.
Yeah, I'm putting the pressure on people, man. Rothstein, Jeff Goodman, they don't get to sit back and relax and get all the breaking news. They gotta up their game a little bit. So I went with a power move. You know, I tried to
say
one
the
up
least.
The initial source with an unquestioned source, right? As he commented on there, but it was, man, it was Bron being Bron, man. You know, I've known him since I've been 9 years old. We competed against each other. We competed together. We've been friends and brothers forever. And there's a sense of loyalty. There's a huge sense of support, and there's the value of trust and honesty that we have between each other. And you know, I appreciate him for doing that. He didn't have to extend his time or his platform, but he did. And you know, regardless of if he did that or if he didn't, you know, nothing would change. That's still going to be my guy. You know, we're still going to, you know, have the relationship that we both value.
And he's been supportive of you. He's been supportive of Coach Dan Brott, and that's been well documented in this last year of Duquesne basketball. But I'm curious, since you've known him for so many years, what do your players ask you? Because we all know LeBron is larger than life to your basketball players.
So you can never do a surprise around them, because every surprise, they think LeBron is in the locker room or about to come.
That's great.
Come out the stands, and he has his message, and you know. And then I get the non-believers, like, you can't FaceTime him, you can't text him right now. So, you know, our guys, you know, they got a lot of jokes, but they appreciate the gestures that he does for this program. We're excited to be a part of his brand. We get to wear his logo on apparel. We get the custom made shoes, and sometimes we get a couple special deliveries as well. So you know, it just goes a long way of who he is. You know, he's invested in the young guys and the youth. He's invested in basketball. And he's invested in our program, and he wants to see us do well. He wants us to have success.
Talking to Drew Joyce III, the new coach of Duquesne basketball, a lot of us are trying to figure out what Bronny can be as a basketball player. Obviously, I'm sure you've seen him play with your relationship with LeBron. Just what are your thoughts about what Bronny could develop to be as a basketball player?
I'm not certain I can comment on that. I don't know the rules and allegations behind that, but I'll comment on the young man that I know he's being raised to be. I know his mother and his father and the values and that they've instilled in him. So being that I know that he comes from that stock, I don't expect anything but him to be of high character, goal driven, and he's going to have success.
So let me ask it then to you this way, because there's all these rumors, right, that Bronny's going to hit the transfer portal. And then with your connection with LeBron, people are already speculating maybe Bronny goes to Duquesne. But if it's not just to Bronny, let's just say it's to a regular player. What is your recruiting pitch to have a player join your program and get coached by you?
So you want me to just to lay out all my details and secrets right on in front of everybody? No, I don't even think of it as a pitch. I'm not trying to be a salesman. You know, when I speak to young men, I'm gonna be honest and transparent about my approach and what they're getting themselves into. And I'm going to let them know that, you know, this experience won't be transactional, no matter the circumstances or the environment that or the state of the game where we are right now. That's cool. I'm okay with guys getting paid. I'm for it. I think it's in the best interest of the sport, and these guys are well deserving of it. But at the end of the day, I value relationships. There's something that can last longer than the paycheck. I wouldn't be here without them. I know what has gotten me to success, and it's the people that have supported me, that have, you know, poured knowledge and wisdom into me, and time, energy, and effort, and the ones that I can pick up the phone and call, and who will listen or help me in time of need. I've had that throughout my career as a coach, as a player. I learned that from my dad as a young man who was my first coach. So, you know, it's bigger than basketball for me. It's bigger than the X's and O's. I feel like it's my purpose to be able to help a young man and make an impact. So you know, that's just true to who I am. I'm not going to change or waver from that. I think that is ultimately what's a value here. And, you know, that is just what you're going to get from me. And that is, I'll stand on that.
It seems like it's really the true definition of a family, is in a family culture is what you're trying to build. And we've seen it right in your relationships with your dad and, you know, his background as a coach. And then also with your long relationship with Coach Dan Brott, you know, it's very unique to have a relationship with someone since you're 12 to continue all the way through this span through sports and through basketball. So it seems like you're truly building through your walk of life, a family kind of culture there and continuing that at Duquesne.
Yeah, I don't know anything too much different. And I've been in my share of locker rooms as a player and a coach now. And, you know, some of them have been successful and others haven't. And I try to weigh the pros and cons each year on what were the differences and what were some of the similarities. And, you know, I think the connection is something that always stands out. The connection amongst the staff and the connection amongst the players that equate to the success. And that doesn't mean that it's always going to be a championship at the end of the day, but it just means that a group embarked on a journey. They decided to work together. They poured all of their time and energy and effort into the process, and they're willing to live with the results. And they realized that they did it together. And, you know, like I said, it doesn't always equate to holding the trophy at the end, but I think there's a lot to be said about going through a process and a journey with someone who was locked in with you.
Well, Coach, heck of a season you guys just had this past year. Congratulations once again on the new opportunity, and we appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You got it. We'll do it again soon. There he is, the head coach of Duquesne with their men's basketball team, Drew Joyce III, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're broadcasting to you today live in Phoenix, Arizona, the start of three shows out here in the desert as we inch closer and closer to the men's Final Four, which will come your way on Saturday evening with UConn going up against Alabama, and then the matchups of the big fellas between DJ Burns of NC State and Zach Edey of Purdue. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, we'll update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief. But let's send it back to our New York City studios first. I thought he was out. Now he's back in. Here he is, always ready to rock. It is the great Rich Ackerman.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start it off with Greg Holcomb. If you're not familiar with the name, he is J.J. McCarthy's personal QB coach, and he was on the Kevin Sheehan show on the Team 980 in D.C., and the quarterback coach revealed the possibility of maybe J.J. McCarthy going to the Commanders at number two. Listen up.
I do know that Jim told me there was a very positive conversation with the Washington people at the NFL Combine, and they just said a lot of really nice things about JJ, that he checks all these boxes and it will be hard for anybody to pass on him. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're telling that to a lot of people, and they've probably got to make sure that they're, you know, including everyone. But it sounds like there's a handful of specific teams that are really kind of, you know, in the wheelhouse to grab him.
And you think, based on that, Washington's one of them?
I do.
Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to take J.J. McCarthy with the second pick, because he even said it along the lines of, you start to wonder how many more teams that they're saying it to, but they were one of the teams that had positive things to say about one J.J. McCarthy. Now, ultimately, I would be shocked. I would really be floored if we're sitting there at the end of April and the Commanders are making the pick, second overall pick in the draft, and if they say the Washington Commanders select J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan, I'd be stunned. It should be Jaden Daniels. I'm not going to rule out Drake May. I think it could be Drake May, but I really think it's a decision between those two. But McCarthy's stock is obviously rising, and about a month and a half ago, I would have been surprised if he was a top 10 pick. Now you think he's going to be a top 5 pick. because I believe someone's going to go try to trade up to 4 or 5 to snag him. And if he's still available at 6, and it feels like the Giants will take him as well. Let's go to Jim Nagy and Peter Schrager. Jim Nagy is the director of the Senior Bowl. Peter Schrager, obviously longtime NFL Network host on the NFL interest in potentially DJ Burns, the big fella out of NC State, maybe saying goodbye to basketball and going to the NFL. Here is the season with Peter Schrager.
A buddy of mine who's a scout that lives in the research triangle there, he texted me. He was like, man, you are killing me right now. His hope was NC State gets bounced in the first round or in the first couple rounds. Yep. And then he was going to try to sneak in and get over there and work him out himself and, you know, stash the guy away and sign him after the draft. He's like, well, now that's not in the cards, because you're right. If they had a pro day, man, over half the league would probably be there, I would guess.
Yeah. You see that body. You see how nimble he is. You see the way he moves in the paint. That is offensive lineman footwork, man. That all that stuff that he's doing, the drop step, all that stuff, that is stuff that offensive line coaches spend years trying to develop.
I could see it. I don't think DJ Burns has a professional future in basketball. What I mean by that is in the NBA. Like, could he go overseas and that's considered professional? Absolutely. I would be intrigued by seeing him as an NFL offensive lineman. And I think it would be a good move, but it seems like DJ isn't interested from something I read that he said in the last 24 to 48 hours. But there you go. That's going to get a lot of pub with Jim Nagy and Peter Schrager talking about it. Let's go to DJ Burns. He was on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt the other night, and he commented on Nikola Jokic, praising him the other day.
I think he's so skilled, especially lefty. I love to be lefty. And like, it seems like teammates like to play with him, so got to be a good guy.
When you heard him talking about you that way, what did you think?
Oh, man, I think it's the coolest thing in the world. You know, you can go up to my coaches, you know, right now and ask them, who do I think is the best big in the league right now? And sorry, Embiid, but I'm going with Jokic. That's just how I've been since I've seen him play. I think that we have more of a similar playing style than myself and Embiid, and that's what really drew me to him out of the two.
No, you look at Nikola Jokic. He's a great scorer, and he's just as good of a passer. And we know that he fills up the rebounding department as well a ton on the stat sheet, as he's just a walking triple-double. And what a performance that was last night, as you got to see a little bit of Nikola Jokic go up against Victor Wembanyama. Both of them were sensational in the game, and we know Denver ended up winning. But pretty cool when you have NBA players talking about the stars in both the men's and women's side of March Madness. And DJ Burns, the stock just keeps on rising from Tennessee, then Winthrop, and now having one last hurrah at NC State, and they're in the Final Four, and no one would have predicted that. They were 17-14. You know, they win 5 games in 5 days in the ACC tournament, and now they are 40 minutes away in basketball terms from going to a championship game that would come your way on Monday night. But that's going to be a fun matchup with Purdue, with Zach Edey going up against DJ Burns, an NC State, a tournament in the men's side that doesn't have a lot of stars and recognizable names. Those two names, we knew that Edey was already a household name, but now Burns, for this tournament's sake, has turned into one of the biggest names of the tourney. Let's go to Paul Pierce, the former NBA player for the Boston Celtics. He had a very interesting comments on Undisputed on FS1. I guess this is what FS1's trying to do to bump up their ratings when talking about Caitlin Clark.
I'm going to just keep it 100 with you. We saw a white girl in Iowa do it to a bunch of black girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
That yeah. Made it like, oh, that gained my respect. That gained my respect.
I hear you. You're
like,
right.
That's like, oh, she didn't do this to some other little white girls that was over mm-hmm. here in Colorado, wherever. She did it to some girls from LSU, you know, who we thought was some dogs.
Defending champs.
Defending yes. champs mm-hmm. and put them on her knee and spanked them.
Spanked them.
And so that is, I know, but I didn't expect that.
I don't know how anyone listened to that show. I'm just going to be honest. Skip Bayless just repeated everything that Paul Pierce said, and all he was like, yep, 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 yep. And it's clear that Paul Pierce hasn't watched a second of Caitlin Clark outside of the game the other night up against LSU. You think that's the first time? Like, if we want to really listen to Paul Pierce's logic, which I think is just stupid, you think that's the first time she was on a basketball court going up against someone that didn't look like her and played well like that? It's like, what are we doing? But that's what happens when you're a big name like Paul Pierce, and I guess people care about your opinion and you get put on a show and you don't put in the work, you say stupid things like that. So not surprising, especially with Paul Pierce's media career where he thought it was going to be at a good spot and it just totally has plummeted since then. Let's go to Luka Doncic on the excellence of Caitlin Clark.
It's a woman with Steph Curry.
Thank you.
She can shoot it better than me.
I love that. That's so cool because he's so right. She is the woman version of Steph Curry. And then Luka Doncic says she could shoot it better than me. And I want to see this next year at the All-Star game. Like, who gives a rat's ass about the dunk contest? We already saw Sabrina Ionescu go up against Steph Curry. Let's add Damian Lillard, who just won the three-point contest this past year. And let's add Caitlin Clark and have those four compete up against one another. I think that would be highly rated. Let's go to LeBron James. We just had Drew Joyce III on, the former teammate of LeBron in high school. They're still close friends. Last night, there was this report that Bronny was hitting the transfer portal. So LeBron James, after his game last night, was asked about those reports about potentially his son transferring.
Well, I don't know where it came from, but at the end of the day, Bronny's his own man. He has some tough decisions to make. Yeah. And when he's ready to make those decisions, he'll let us all know. But as his family, we'll support whatever he does.
It's funny the timing of this, because yesterday we were talking about the departure of Andy Enfield from USC, and he winds up at SMU, and there's a lot of reports that Eric Musselman is expected to be the next head coach of USC. He's interviewing for the job. I think he did that yesterday, and he's now at Arkansas. So I said, isn't it weird that no one has talked about the future of Bronny? And then after that, Dick Hoops Weiss, who's a longtime legendary college basketball reporter, but he's not a breaking news guy anymore. He tweets out that he's heard that Bronny's hit the transfer portal. And then hours later, he said something along the lines of, well, I haven't been able to confirm that yet. And then LeBron comments on it last night. Could he maybe go to Duquesne because of the relationship that LeBron has with the new head coach of Duquesne? Well, we tried to get some answers on that. We weren't really successful. But no, it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if Bronny hits the transfer portal. But I like that from LeBron. He's saying it's not my decision. It's my son's decision, and he's weighing his options, and now he has to ultimately make a decision. Quickly, let's go to the Joel Embiid on his return from injury last night as they got a victory.
For some reason, this injury was just, it was disappointing. It was depressing. It was took me a while to get over it, and I still haven't gotten over it. So just got to take it day by day. Look at the positive. I'm back. So hopefully every single day try to get better and get back to myself.
You hear that. You have to overcome it physically. You also have to overcome it mentally. I see some people after the great victory last night saying, oh, the Sixers could go be a surprising team in the Eastern Conference to get to the finals. I don't buy it. Because Embiid's not 100% healthy. They've never been to a conference final, even with Joel Embiid before. Now he's going to have to potentially go through the play-in tournament and then three series to get to the finals. I don't see it with Embiid, and that audio is concerning to me.
Hey, everyone. This is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.